Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and joining me tonight, as always, my dear friend, Dr. Marty Greer. And so we decided it's not quite officially winter because we haven't hit December 21st, but we're getting really close. And at Marty's house, it's definitely winter. And so, yeah. So we decided.
Does a blizzard count?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Winter wonderland with our pets. I feel like that's a verifiable thing. And there's great fun things that we can do with our dogs. Like my dogs absolutely love snow. They chase snow. They do snow angels. But, you know, there's some things with that. And there's all kinds of stuff to go with us for our winter wonderland with our pets. Huh, Marty?
Yes. Yes. So one of my employees, as she was leaving the office tonight, said, I am so sad that I worked this afternoon. I wanted to get home before dark because she has a Bernese Mountain Dog puppy. His name is Moose.
Yeah.
And this is his first snowfall. And she wanted to be there. Her fiance was home with the dogs today. So he got to let the dogs out for their first romp in the snow. So this adorable Bernese Mountain Dog puppy, Moose, is out there charging around in the snow today. And I will tell you that there is nothing more entertaining than a dog that really loves snow. Those northern breeds of dogs, the Siberians and the Sammies and the Berners and the, you know,
but wire-haired pointers, honestly, they're not northern breeds, but my God, I've never seen dogs love snow that much.
Yeah. But what's funny about the Bernese Mountain Dogs and the other mountain dogs, mm-hmm. the Greater Swiss mm-hmm. Mountain Dogs, the other Entlebuchers, right. all those, they like to be not only in snow, but on the highest pile of snow they can yes. find in the yard. Honestly, yeah. in their DNA, they are looking for a mountain. And the best they can do in Wisconsin is a little mound of snow.
The Akitas. The Akita always loved, when I lived in Nebraska and we would get snowdrifts, like he would go to the top of the snowdrift and literally mm-hmm. like slide down it. He thought that was hysterical.
Oh, yeah. They'd be loving it, man. And there's 100%. Nothing you can do to tell me that that is not in their DNA. It is ingrained in their DNA.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I don't think there's a test for that.
No, there's definitely not a DNA test for it, but I'm telling you it's real. Okay. So our pets, now cats, we're going to start with cats because I feel like we can like walk through that pretty quickly before we get to our dogs.
Fast.
Out. Cats are a no on snow.
Pretty much. I used to have a cat that would try to get out the front door of the clinic. He was our clinic cat. And so I would wait till it snowed, and then I'd put him in a harness with a leash on it, and I'd take him out and drop him in a snowbank, and he'd skedaddle back for the door, and that would be it for the rest of the winter. I didn't have to worry about trying to keep him in, because once he'd seen that was what the outdoors looked like, it didn't yeah. matter if it was July yeah. or January. Yeah. He's like, I'm out.
Peace out, man. Yeah, that's kind of my thought. I figured that might be a thing. So let's talk about the super fun things we can do with our dogs, like slide down the snow mountain and build snowmans and throw snowballs. And there's so sledding. Much fun stuff to do with our dogs. Let's talk about that.
Sledding. First. Yep. You sledding. Can put them on the sled or saucer with you. Oh, yeah. You know, it's just so much fun. Just be careful that there's not a tree on the way down that you're yeah. going to hit, because the dog's not going to tolerate that very well, and neither
Skeegery.
Will you.
Skeegering. Like where yes. you look yourself to yes. skis and yes. then the dog to you. I wouldn't recommend doing it with one of my dogs because they don't know how to stop. But, you know, right. it's a thing. Lots of people love the sport of skeegering.
Right. It's an actual sport. And I have a Samoyed client that used to, when she was in her younger days, would do that. And snowshoeing. Oh, my God. I love snowshoeing with my dogs. And it's so much fun. But our Dalmatian, he wasn't good in snow. We'll say the corgis loved the snow, but the Dalmatian wasn't so good in the snow. No double coat, always cold. Yeah. So he would try to ride the tails of the snowshoes, and that made it really hard to pick up your feet as you were going through the snow. Yeah. So yes, snowshoeing and ski jorning is a real sport, so trust me. But we built a veterinary clinic that's a drive-through so that people didn't have to ski jour from their car into the veterinary office.
From home.
Safely drive in. You can get out on a nice dry surface, mm-hmm. get your dog safely out of the car. So mm-hmm. it's a little tricky going to the vet clinic with a cat, with a dog, when there's a blizzard. And the cats don't tolerate it really well, and the dogs mm-hmm. are dangerous because they're having so much fun running to the door. And let me just say, you can fall faster than they can run.
I think we've had this discussion before, but maybe not. I am not a snowophile. Not sure if that's a word.
You've mentioned that. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I live in Oregon, in southern Oregon, where if it snows an inch, it's like stop the presses, shut down the schools, everybody's on lockdown because, oh my God, it's an inch of snow.
Because you are, yeah.
There's a lot of parts of our country where that's the case. So, like,
yeah.
Not everybody lives northern tier.
Mm. Nope. Here they don't close school very often. I think they close it now more for really cold weather than snow. But they're a little bit more litigiously aware because they don't want a school bus to roll down a hill and into the embankment. So they're a little more careful, I think, than when we were kids. And yes, we did walk to school six miles
uphill
in both ways.
Right.
In a snowstorm. Yeah, it was always that way. But, you know, blizzards are a real thing. And our dogs, if you can get them to wear little coats and little booties, and you don't have 14 dogs to, you know, 14 dogs times four, that's a lot of little booties.
No, it's a lot of
booties. I don't do that. Mm-mm. Yeah, I don't do that. But there are people who do, and there's people who do long walks and all those things. And yes, I have a northern breed. I have a Danish-Swedish farm dog as my
one breed. It has no hair.
No hair, and they don't really like the cold, but they also don't like wearing clothes. So I've put clothes on them, and they have undressed themselves. My first dog, Olga, I put her in a little jacket, a little fleece jacket, because we were going to go to an agility class, and it was 10 degrees below zero. It was really cold. Put her in the crate, drove to the training class, got to the class, and here she is sitting in the very front corner on the right-hand side of the crate, and in the very back left-hand corner was the jacket. And she looked at me like, don't you ever think that you're going to put clothes on me again. I'm like, all right, okay. Now, the corgis, of course, they're a Welsh breed, so they're used to, I mean, they were evolved in that kind of weather. They're good with not wearing clothes, but there's a whole variety of things
they're
that people
little.
Do.
Like, how do you get a corgi through the snow? Like, do you make them a tunnel? I mean, come on.
You have to snowblow or shovel a path so that they can get out. Once it gets more than a couple of inches deep. And when you have puppies, it's even harder because their legs are really short. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mm-hmm. that's a problem. So, mm-hmm. yes, we have to do those things for our little corgis so that they can go out and, you know, not freeze their little naughty bits off in the snow.
Naughty bits. Those long and storied years that I lived in Nebraska. We had snow. I wasn't a fan. And my final straw for the years of living in Nebraska was the year 2009, when we had a blizzard on Christmas Eve. And then the snow blew in the blizzard and made snowdrifts that were taller than our fences. Mm-hmm. And then it did not get above freezing until Easter. Mm-hmm. Easter.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a problem when the dogs can walk over the snowdrift and over the top of the fence.
Not a fan. Not a fan. And so that was my last winter spent where snow gets taller than me. Just throwing that into the ether. But while I was there, and the years that weren't so awful, it was crazy to me how much the wire hairs loved the snow. The Akita, mm-hmm. of course, loved the snow. Even the pug dogs loved the snow. And they would play in it. I mean, you know, when it's below zero for a while and it's ice and they're sliding and we're all sliding and you need crampons to walk across the yard, like, not so excited. But, you know, fluffy yeah. snow. Fluffy snow's good.
Oh, for sure. Fluffy snow is fun. And there are some tricks and tips to this. First of all, I think the most dangerous temperature for the dogs is right at that freezing, slushy mm-hmm. temperature. Because mm-hmm. if it's colder, mm-hmm. they actually do better than if it's slushy. Now, once it gets about 10 below zero, the dogs try to stand on 2 feet, and dogs cannot walk on 2 legs very well. So that gets a little tricky. The trips outside are pretty short, and a lot of dogs decide to use the indoor bathroom instead of the outdoor bathroom. So that becomes a problem.
Challenge.
But the slushy temperatures are risky because if they lay in the snow or they spend too much time in the snow with, you know, their feet or their underparts, they tend to frostbite at that slushy temperature. So be really careful if you're out shoveling or snow blowing and the dog's in those temperatures. A little colder is a little better. A little warmer, of course, we don't have snow. As far as snow blowing, a lot of dogs think it's really a blast to run through the snow as it blows out of the snowblower. And although it may look really cute and funny, when a hunk of ice comes out, it's dangerous. So be aware, again, that the dog shouldn't be out during those kinds of activities because it can be a little bit risky. So keep them, you know, not in that plume that comes out of the snowblower, if you understand what snow blowing is.
At my house in Nebraska, there was no such thing as a snowblower because real Nebraska, you just get out and you just drive out of the driveway and you just like make a big old layer of ice in your big old 4x4.
Yeah. And you go in and out a few times until you can get up enough speed to whoomp. Because when the snow plow goes past,
this is Laura at the end of your driveway, growling is this, at the grossness of this, just so you know.
There's a big hump at the end of your driveway because, of course, you've shoveled it or snow blew it out. And then the snow plow came past and filled in the end of the driveway. So you have to get up some pretty good speed to go whoomp over the hump.
Driving on ice, good times. Good times I do not miss.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
So, speaking of ice, so there's a couple things with ice and super cold temperatures in our dogs, particularly. Snowballs in their feet. The first time I encountered this and my dog just kind of like flopped down on the ground and wouldn't walk. And I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong with it? I've never seen. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's a thing. And then the de-icer that we use and how to make that be pet safe. So dealer's choice, pick which one you like.
So we'll talk about feet first. If you have a breed that you can trim the feet on, so for instance, like a Cavalier is supposed to have long, hairy feet. If you're showing your Cavalier, you have to do that. If you're not showing your Cavalier, trim the hair on the feet. It doesn't matter what breed it is, you know, Goldens, whatever.
In the pads, right? Like in the middle.
In there. Yeah. Right. And then you can buy these really cool little shavers now on Amazon for $20. They're quiet. They charge on a USB port. And they do a fabulous job of getting in between the toes. And I'm going to tell you, everybody thinks that their dog is special because it has webbed feet. Every dog has the same kind of toes. I have practiced veterinary medicine for 44 years. I have looked at the bottoms of feet of thousands and thousands of dogs. They're all webbed. It's not like dogs have individual toes like we have individual fingers. So they all have webbed feet. Clip them out. If you have a lab, you probably don't need to do it. If you have a Golden, if you have anything with furry feet, clip it out because it's going to cut down on, number one, the snowballs, and even the tops can be helpful. And number two, they are not tracking in mud and leaves and sand and
grossness. Yeah.
All this stuff. As far as the cat litter safety salt things, a lot of people use cat litter on their sidewalks to keep them from being slippery. It tracks in a little bit, but it's safe for the dog's feet. And they do now make a pet safe salt. So it's not quite as bad as it used to be when we didn't have that product on the market and cat litter was really our only choice. The other thing is you throw the extra bag of cat litter or salt in the back of your car, truck, van, whatever you happen to be driving for two reasons. One is it gives you the extra weight.
Traction.
So you're less likely to go slide around. And two is if you get stuck, then you can get your stuff out, put it under your wheels. And trust me, I've done this more than once where you go sliding around and you can't get up a hill or you can't get out of the ditch or you can't get out of your driveway or into your driveway or whatever it happens to be. So having that extra little bit of traction can be really helpful. And of course, when you travel, anytime you travel, whether it's just you or you and your pets, you should have that winter safety kit. You should have a blanket. You should have a way to keep warm. So those little hand warmers that activate with a little disc in them can be helpful. Flares if you're going to be out in the boonies. Make sure your cell phone has a charger, that your cell phone has a charge. Take your granola bars, have your little bottle of water. Have something that it's safe, that if you do get stranded, that you're prepared for it. And then make sure somebody knows where you are. Yes. So don't go taking off across country. You and your dog, like, we're just going to go a drive up to the park and we're going to go on a long hike and we're going to do these cool things in the snow. But make sure somebody knows where you are and when you should be back, because, you know, tragic things happen if we're not careful. So just be smart about it. Take your little booties for your dogs.
Okay, so I was going to go booties. That was my next question. And the one that I think is super important that I think is often missed. So often, northern tier areas or not, cold weather is dry. And so
it sure is.
A lot of people think, hey, there's snow, I don't have to worry as much about my dog's water. I think you actually have to worry more. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, because it is dry. It is dehydrating. The houses are dry. The humidity is low.
A lot of heat.
So, yes.
You know, all the stuff.
Right. And we see a lot of dry coats on dogs. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of flaky skin, itchy dogs because of that. So just, you know, think about what your humidity levels are in your house. Run your humidifier, run your vaporizer, run your shower, run whatever. Sometimes adding a little bit of fat to the dog's food can be helpful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just sort of think about it. Think how much time you spend with
chapstick.
you can use a little chapstick on your dog's nose. Yeah. If it's a really dry, scaly nose, then zinc oxide can be helpful. Mm-hmm. And you can just buy that in a tube. It's in the diaper rash aisle.
Vitamin E lotion. That's what I use.
Vitamin E is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vitamin E chapstick. I tend not to share chapstick with my own dog, but, you know, you do you. If you're okay with
hair.
Yeah.
All the things. I mean, of all the things, like chapstick on their nose, it's fine.
I don't share toothbrushes.
Not toothbrushes. No, I will not share a toothbrush. I know where their tongue has been, but the nose, you know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Don't forget that if you are going to put your dog in a jacket or a sweater or whatever it happens to be. I actually had a client that came in one afternoon on emergency, said, oh my God, my dog can't walk. Well, can your dog stand? Yes, my dog can stand, but my dog can't walk. Okay, fine. You should come in. So they come in, they put the dog on the floor in the exam room. The dog is standing there with all four legs on the floor like this. And I said to them, okay, so what's going on? And they said, she won't walk. And I said, okay, well, how long has she been wearing the sweater? Well, we put it on her this afternoon. And I said, okay, do you think that could be it? Oh, I don't think that's it. I said, well, tell you what, let's do this. Let's take it off and see what happens. Took it off. She goes around the room, put it back on. She went back to paralyzed.
Yep.
So she wasn't really paralyzed. It was just that she
the paralyzing that nature of clothing.
Right. So, you know, practice a few times before you have to go out in a blizzard to take the dog to go potty when it's 20 below and the dog is like, I'm not doing this. Get them used to the sweater or the jacket, whatever you happen to put on them. I sold a little farm dog to this elderly gentleman, and I use that word carefully because I'm not young. An elderly gentleman, and he bought her the cutest little Carhartt vest. Oh, my goodness sakes. He brought her to the bar. We went to the bar, and we had a beverage. She had her glass of water. He had his glass of beer, and she was like the chick magnet. He's so funny. He's like, look at my chick magnet. He's got all these women that come up and talk to him because his cute little dog in this cute little Carhartt vest. And I want to say it's a Carhartt vest. We're not talking just, you know, any vest. Yeah. We're talking just a brand name Carhartt.
Carhartt. Yeah. So I had in the gross weather, I had hunting dogs, right? So I had dogs that were actually out running. And so snowballs were terrible. Ice built up in their pads. So we did have booties for them because, you know, they're running through, breaking through ice crusted over the snow. Maybe there's a corn stalk in the cut cornfield. They're coming down, you know. So talk to us about booties. I know we've kind of like touched on it in the past, but I think it's really important when we're talking about ice and snow, talk about proper fit, proper construction. And also my third piece of this question, the importance of getting your outfits off your dog when they're soaking wet, because you can cause serious chills for your dog.
Right. So a wet jacket is worse than No jacket. And the neoprene ones tend to dry pretty quickly. There's a lot of really good products on the market. I like the Polartec fleece. I buy the double fleece ones, and those are really nice. So, you know, it depends on if it's a wet snow or if it's raining and snowing or it's sleeting. So you have to kind of use some judgment. You may have to have more than one jacket for your dog, one to dry, one that's wet, one that fits in different kind of weather. My dogs personally don't like a little hood on theirs, but some dogs do. So you kind of have to decide that. For booties, a number of years ago, we were buying the booties that they run the Iditarod dogs in. Mm-hmm. And they're a Polartec fleece with a stretchy Velcro that goes around them. And they were actually made by Doug Swingley's wife. And probably 20, maybe 25 years ago, Doug Swingley was the rookie of the year that ran the Iditarod. Mm-hmm. And she would make thousands and thousands of these booties. And they actually run the Iditarod dogs in these booties. But they will run through several pairs a day because they're running 25 miles a day, right? Mm-hmm. So they weren't intended to last a long time. They were Polartec fleece, and you used them and changed them out. They make booties out of Polartec. They make them out of Cordura, which are pretty durable. They make them out of leather. There's a number of different kinds. There's little rubber ones that are
like
kind of
rubber that was almost like car tire, almost like a thin tire material.
Right.
That were
There's some that are like a balloon. They're sort of shaped like a balloon, and you pull those on. Yeah. Those don't really keep their feet warm, but they do help to keep them dry. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to decide on what your dog tolerates. Some of them lace, some of them have Velcro. And they're supposed to fit pretty snugly around the wrist or the ankle of the dog, but they're not supposed to lay around the house in them. They're supposed to be put on with them snugly on. You take the dog out, they go do their thing, exercise, run, walk, hike, go potty, whatever, come back in the house, take them off, because you're going to get too much swelling of their foot if you leave it on long enough for like every 4 hours to take the dog outside. You need to have them on and off.
Right.
So again, if you have 14 dogs and two sets of pairs of feet on every dog, that's what is 14 times four, is that 56? 56 feet in and out of booties. Not going to happen. And then, you know, the other thing you can do is teach the dog when they come and go, if they're not wearing booties, to just stop at the door and let you dry off their feet so that they're not tracking stuff in. Some people use a little foot bath. You know, there's a number of different ways that people do it. But it just has to work for what your lifestyle, your weather conditions, your breed of dog, what their feet are like, what their tolerance is. Are they old or are they young? If they're young dogs, they don't care nearly as much as if they're elderly dogs. Right. But when they get older, you know, you have to take a little better care of them. You have to be really careful with how much time they're outside. You go out, you go potty, you're back in. Of course, wearing those little headlamps, because it's dark 50% of the time now. When you go out with a dog, wear your little headlamps so you can see what they're doing. You can make sure that you see what their eliminations look like. So just, you know, things change as dogs get older. Just be thoughtful of your elderly dog, that it's not going to tolerate the cold the way it did when it was two or younger.
I also wanted to kind of quick throw into this conversation, because I see so many things that pop up about this. There has been attempted, I'm not sure that they've actually accomplished it, but attempted legislation around the country about not allowing dogs outdoors if the temperature is below freezing or whatever. And I think that we need to just have a really honest conversation with people about, okay, if you have a Sholo ex-Squently, you probably shouldn't leave it outside for an hour if it's below freezing. If you have an Alaskan Malamute or a St. Bernard or something along those lines, it doesn't want to come inside. My Akita in Nebraska, we had a beautiful indoor, outdoor heated kennel building, like all of the bells and whistles. And I could not drag that dog indoors until it got to zero. Then he would come inside and sleep inside. But he had free choice to do whatever he wanted to do. And until it hit zero, I mean, I could drag him in, but he'd be back out before I was in the house.
Right. And I think that's kind of tricky because, for instance, in Wisconsin, with the dog sellers law, we have a certain amount of time that the dogs are required to be outside every day. Mm-hmm. And it's Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So if it's 20 below, and it does truly get 20 below without the wind chill.
Oh, yeah.
If you add the wind chill, it's colder than that. Mm-hmm. So you have to have some kind of common sense that goes with this. Mm-hmm. And that's the tricky part, is some of these breeds want to be outside. Some of these breeds do not want to be outside. Mm-hmm. So you have to use some judgment and, you know, just some common sense that goes with it. And the other thing, oh, I forgot to mention when we were talking about water, is if you have a dog that spends a lot of time outside or cats that you're taking care of that are outside, make sure that you have fresh water that they can access, because anything below 32, obviously it's going to be frozen.
Right.
So you can buy heated water bowls, just like you can buy heated bird baths. So have a heated bowl available so that if your dogs are spending a lot of time outside, that they do have access to that.
Right.
That water bowl that allows the water to stay fluid. And then, of course, you still have to wash it out because it gets
gross,
icky.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, the technical term.
Gross. Just gross. Okay, so super fun, snow angels, ski-during, all the things. Use some common sense. We understand it's not a flower that grows in everyone's garden, but give it a shot.
Right. But snow piles are like leaf piles. They're lots of fun. They can dive into
them. So much fun. You know,
bundle up your kids. Bundle up yourself. Go out there.
Make a snowman. Time.
Fresh air, snowman, snow angels, whatever it is. Dogs love to roll around in the snow and leave their little snow.
I'm telling you, snow angels. That's my dogs and I used to do that. Like, we would literally lay down together and make snow angels. Right up until I hated snow. So, you know, then it got to be a problem.
But you can really genuinely have a great time with your dog if you are both dressed appropriately and it's not slushy, freezing, or so windy that you can't stand upright, which is kind of like today in my world.
Yeah.
Like walking back and forth between the car and the buildings, like literally you're, you know, walking like 45 degree angles. So
no, I hate those days. Hated them.
You don't live here anymore.
Hated them, and I don't live there anymore. So sorry. But anyway, y'all have fun out there in the snow and the ice, and keep your dog warm and dry and happy. Don't make it come inside if it's having a good time, but don't force it to go outside if it doesn't want to. You know, stuff like that. Conscientious, and mostly have fun, because it's the winter wonderland with your pets. So,
yeah, enjoy it.
There you go. All right, Marty, thanks so much. Be safe in the blizzard, man. All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are. In the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog, and we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.